2nd of October 1970, Buster brought the Chrysler back, and this is the beginning of Channel 2 Right, and a continuation of the visit with Buster this Friday late, supper time passed, the 2nd of October 1970, the 2nd of October 1970, Channel 2 Right, beginning of Channel 2 Right, and a continuation of the visit with Buster. This Friday, the 2nd of October, 1970, after supper, except we didn't have any supper.
I says, I'm going to ask her a question right now. I said, how much is 9 times 7? And did you know she didn't know? And she's in the 10th grade. Why, none of them kids don't know the multiplication tables. It's not compulsory that you take arithmetic anymore. And old Freddie said, yeah, how much is 9 times 7? Talking to his sister.
Mm-hmm.
So she said, I don't know. I said, well, you're so rotten smart. I said, how much is it? You don't even know yourself. He said, 52.
Why, Buster?
I said, boy, I said, you don't know beef from Bullfoot. I said, what are you talking about, 52? I said, it's 57. He said, that's right. I said, listen, I said, I still don't know, do you? And then I told him, I said, you know, not very long ago, they wanted to have a pearl uptown there. And did you know there wasn't a, and all them girls and boys was in the 12th grade, and they couldn't even spell pearl. They couldn't. They couldn't spell pearl.
They
wanted to have a pearl, and they had to ask my daddy how to spell pearl, so they put the sign in the window, in the garage there. It's been way back in 60. And it's worse than it was then. In other words, they are learning these kids now to be a bunch of nitwits. I hate to say that. The school, the kind of schooling that they're getting.
They babysit.
Well, now you take this modern math. What good is modern math?
I never found out.
Nobody else. The man that invented it hadn't found out either.
They don't learn the multiplication table.
If they don't even know that. Now, you take old man Atkins out there. Now, he's making change. I told him, I said, now, you put old Freddie up here making change. I said, he couldn't make change to save his life. He said, I ain't going to let him do it. And see, that boy's done out of school. And don't even know how to make. Well, you take Frank Weaver. Whenever he come out of school, he couldn't even make change up at his daddy's store. Couldn't do it. And he didn't know how to make change, because I seen his daddy over there one day showing him how to do it. Well, they don't teach you that in school. That's what they ought to teach you when a kid's coming up, isn't it, in grammar school.
I don't know what.
Teach him how to make change, teach him how to spell and all that stuff. That's more essential than teaching a bunch of junk like they're teaching up there.
What's the word they do? They teach him.
That boy of mine took electronics.
Yeah.
And he sure learned a lot. It cost me $13 to buy a radio. I thought he was going to make a radio, and kind of find out that he, in that kit, it had the box, and all the guts in there is already put together. The only thing he had to do is just put it in there and screw it together, and had an old sorry radio. That thing wouldn't hardly play.
And that was his course?
That was his course. Now, he really learned something there. He could learn that without even going to school. Anybody can put something together that's got the directions right in the box, can't they?
He could learn that from the magazine section on Sunday, couldn't he?
Yeah.
He could order it.
He could. And he don't even know his multiplication tables. They didn't compel him to learn that stuff. I know my wife was trying to teach him to him, and he didn't want to learn it.
You know, I think when you try to teach them something they don't want to learn, not interested in, or maybe a little hard for it, I think that's what gets them sort of upset. They're not happy when you do that.
No, but you take something like spelling and multiplication table, that's two things that they definitely should learn and know. Because that's essential in life. You've got to have that. You got to have it. Well, if you went to work for a firm and they'd hand you a blueprint and tell you, says, I want you to find this room right here now and fix a light fixture in it. Well, if you can't read and can't spell, how in the way are you going to make out what you're talking about? And I'll tell you something else. They're teaching them spelling here. That's Peggy Myers that drives that bus. She was learning it by sight. She was telling us that one day. And she could look at that word and tell you what it was, but yet she couldn't spell it.
Yeah.
You ever heard of that?
Yeah.
Now that's something, isn't it?
That's something.
That's something.
Just by sight.
Just by sight.
Yeah.
So I'm going to try to fix these cars by sight. Just look at it and maybe it'll fix itself, you reckon?
Yeah.
You can't do it. You got to do it the hard way. That's what they got to do in school. You got to learn it the hard way, haven't they?
Now that's something, Buster. That's something you can check them on. They can figure and they spell. And if you can't do that, you know they what you can do. You know what they do? They teach them to adjust.
Adjust to every occasion, situation. Yeah.
Well,
that's no good.
To adjust.
That's no good.
Yes.
You might adjust to something that you don't want to be adjusted to, something you don't like. But yet you'll be adjusted to it. But that don't make no sense to me. Does it to you?
You know, Miss Daisy says that's what it says all them boys do down there. Buddies, James Sawyer's, is they bounce a basketball.
That's the main thing.
Is they school and bounce that ball.
Well, that's what they're teaching them, to bounce that ball.
Yes.
And run them big mounds. Don't forget that. They're teaching them that. Well, they don't teach them that. That just comes natural. Early in the morning before they get on that bus.
Oh, really?
Out there. You can't hear nothing with them niggas' mouths are going and they ain't saying nothing.
Yeah.
Wake up the whole neighborhood. Every dog in town are barking at them. Them old mouths are going. And they ain't saying nothing, cussing each other and fighting at each other and jerking at each other. And
I miss Brother Lee coming out there. He used to be out there. You know how much that boy earns, Gerald?
Gerald Feaster?
Uh-huh.
No.
$18,000 a year and expensive.
Well, what's he doing?
Hell, the man who earns that much don't have to do anything.
Well, I didn't think that boy even had good sense. What is he doing?
He works for the Department of Agriculture.
He does?
Yeah.
Well, I never think he was very bright myself. I know old Gerald well. Last time I saw him, he had something smart to say. I don't know what it was, and I had to break it off in him.
Yeah. He had a hard time making C's up there at the university. And the reason he made C's was that they didn't have anybody else to go on that course. They were shortest men in that course.
Yeah. He's working for the Department of Agriculture.
Yeah.
Good gosh, I'd get me a job there if he can work there. Anybody can.
And he was down here at Peru, and now they're going back up there. They're nice, huh? You see, they get along the world.
Hmm.
You have to say Mister now.
Is that right?
No, he's nice.
He married a nice little girl.
Yeah.
As a nice little girl.
Yeah.
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 She's too nice for him.
Yeah.
Well, he's in Washington.
Well, he makes money.
Well, that's what counts.
Yes, sir.
That's what makes the ball bounce,
so
that money.
Mr. Lee doesn't have to worry about his son-in-law.
No. But I bet the son-in-law has to worry about Mr. Lee. Don't you?
Yeah.
That Mr. Lee, he's a character, isn't he?
No, sir, I used to see him come in there. He was always in a hurry when he's coming in, you know, and he couldn't hardly wait to tell you what the trouble was, and then he couldn't wait for you to get it fixed.
No. And he was beating on the fender while you were there working, knocking all that sand down your neck.
Yeah.
He thought he was really helping.
Yeah.
He just never. How you get along over there? I said, pretty good, as long as that sand keeps falling. Got my damn eyes full, my neck full. I said, is there any more left up there? Hit it again, let's see. What you talking about? Hitting on the thunder.
Now, Does Mr. Weaver said he didn't stay open at night anymore. There's too much meanness.
There is. This world's got to the place where a businessman is almost afraid to stay open at night. You know that? Everywhere.
And you don't go out on calls.
I don't even go out no more at night. I got better sense.
Why, Buster?
Why, somebody'll knock you in the head, think you got 15 cents in your pocket. This country's getting in bad shape. It's sad. Well, people walk right in your house and rob you now.
Yeah.
In Gainesville, did you know that?
Yeah.
Haven't you reading the papers?
Yeah.
Where the man be sitting there, and that's why somebody just open the door and walk right in. I know plenty of people in Gainesville. Keeps every door locked and every shade pulled down.
Oh, really?
Plenty of them. Most of them in Gainesville does. Yes, sir. It's pathetic, I'm telling you. The condition this country's got into.
This lady called you after dark one time and said, did you make night calls?
Yeah, everyone said that.
And you said something about you wouldn't even answer the telephone if you...
If I had my way about it. Well, that's what I told somebody today. They said, I'll call you in the morning. I said, call all you want to. I said, one of them kids might answer it. I said, I don't even answer a door. I don't, hardly.
Yeah.
And, because every time you answer a telephone or somebody wanting to know something, either they want one of them kids to talk to, just to talk, you know. Well, every time I answer that telephone, is Billy there? Is Callum there? Just want to talk, you know. On a real cold morning, they want to know who Buster's this. I need a little boost. I said, why am I selling you a battery? Then you won't need no boost.
Oh, Buster.
Yeah, daylight in the morning.
Gosh.
Why don't you come give him a boost? I said, you don't need no boost, you need a battery. Boosting the damn battery. If it's dead, I said, it'll be dead again tomorrow. And it will, too, you know it.
Could a man make a living giving people a boost?
No, you can't. Because they don't want you to charge them over a dollar and a half. They don't. Old Harsh told me he boosted off a woman and charged her $3 and she liked to faint him. Old time you get up all them old cables and go out there and mess around with old cars worth that.
Sure it is.
You ain't making no money then. Leave it there. Just like I got a hold of two old tires yesterday for a man down there. Well, I lost money messing them old tires. Old six ply tires, you know. I didn't want to fool with them, but I got couple of big jobs coming up for a long, working on his old truck, so I decided to go ahead and do it, you know. And I put them on, pinched them, and I had to take the thing back off today and patch them. Yeah, it's trouble. Old tires, I don't like to fool with tires if I can get out of it. I sure don't.
Old Jarhead, is he still maneuverable?
Still working up there, yeah.
Last time I heard from him, he wasn't able to work.
He gets that way once in a while.
Yeah, but not often.
I don't know. I hardly ever see him.
Yeah. He was doing so well over there, Buster, where he lives, under that shade tree. Why did he need to come down there at night?
Well, Emmett Dodd talked to me going down there.
Oh, did he?
Mm-hmm.
He got all the work he wanted to do.
Yeah.
And then the Grove people, they'd keep him busy if he wanted to stay busy.
Yeah. That's right.
You don't want to stay too busy,
does he? I don't think anybody does. Do you? Stay too busy.
Does he trade?
All right, no play, Johnny, a dull boy.
Does he trade?
Oh, no, I don't think so.
I don't think so.
No.
He just
told a man to make it up that he could fix a starter. You got one on that car there, on that Chrysler. And he said he could fix that thing. I don't believe it. I got one up there that needs fixing. I'm going to find if he can fix it. I say that he can't. Those things you have to arc weld them, you know, when you take them apart, you know. Boy, them Chrysler starters, if they ever get away, you're just going to buy a starter. And he's trying to have that thing fixed. Mm-mm. Old man Thomas up there, old Joe Thomas, his wife's a nephew up there at the Veterans Hospital. And he bought a starter for that old car here that day. I could save him some money, but we carried one up at a White Electric to charge him $17 to fix it. That's when I found out you can't fix one of them starters. And it didn't do nothing, just put a little Bendix drive thing, like that, and wouldn't catch, you know. And they put that thing in there and charged $17. Well, the thing didn't last very long before it burned up. I told him, I said, them people up there can't fix a starter. And I said, nobody else can't. They'll send them things back to the factory. So he got mad, went to the Dodge place. They put him on a starter and charged him $70. Oh, rebuilt one. It wasn't a new one. I think they charged him $17 just to put the thing on there. You can put it on there in five or 10 minutes. I had one on that car today in 5 or 10 minutes. And like I say, though, some of these things you just can't fix them. But I'm going down and see if he can take one of them things apart. I just don't believe it. But that's what, he might have been just telling that old guy that, or maybe that guy was telling me that to get a starter a little bit cheaper.
Is Jarhead a pretty good mechanic, though?
Yeah, old Jarhead's all right.
He can fix about anything, can't
he? Yeah. Yeah, old Jarhead's all right.
When you tell a fella, kind of, lines out for him what he needs to do and he don't do it, then that is his own fault, then. He don't take advantage of a little information.
He don't?
No, the fella you was telling him, White,
or
who was it?
Oh, old man Thomas.
Thomas,
yeah.
And he went on just like you never had told him.
He sure found out the hard way, though.
Yeah. Costly.
But he holds that against White Electric for them not rebuilding that starter good, because it burned up.
Yeah.
In about, I'd say a couple of months.
Yeah.
Well, that old boy about that done the best he could. He couldn't help it. You know what I mean? But they quit fixing them, I noticed back there. Because they knew they couldn't fix them starters.
Yeah.
They dealt it. And it's a tedious job, too.
Yeah.
Those things are close, you know, and you can't hardly get in there. And you got to unweld all the wires on it. They were separated. See, they got these parts down. Well, just an ordinary man can't take them apart and put them back together like he used to.
Yeah.
Oh.
See. No, sirree. You've got to know how to weld to take that starter apart, see?
Yeah, I see.
And they've got old cars now to where they expect you just to put on a replacement.
Yeah.
And I guess that's just about as good a way as any.
When they get
Koshimoto.
Yes, but when they get parts getting complicated, that's about, you don't have much choice.
You don't have no choice at all. The only thing I need a mechanic for this day is now just for replacements.
Yeah.
You can't fix a starter no more. You can't fix a generator, alternator.
Yeah.
You can't fix an alternator. If you do, it'll cost you more than you can go up there and buy one for.
Yeah. But close to town would you have to live before they would White Electric, if you needed a generator, they'd send it out to you?
They don't like to come out making up.
No.
That's 12 miles.
That's too far.
Now you take in town there, they'll go to city limits.
Yeah.
Well, that's far enough.
Yeah.
I don't think I'd want to go any further. If I run the parts place, I wouldn't want to go.
That's
good enough, because a lot of times they have to go 5 or 6 miles.
Yeah,
even the city limits.
Yeah. And traffic.
Yes, sir. Really. That's a lot of trouble. A lot of trouble.
I don't see how they do it.
Well, now, they got a whole lot of stuff to deliver. You want to remember, every time they deliver a part, they're going to make some money on it.
Yeah.
And they don't just run out there and deliver one part. they'll let it stack up steadily for an hour or two until they get several calls, see?
Out in that direction?
Well, not necessarily in that direction. They'll go ahead and take it to different places, you know.
Yeah.
In other words, they're going to make some money on it. You can bet your bottom dollar on that.
Well, I know old Cookie up there at that base station doesn't even stock filters.
Just gets it when he needs it, eh?
Yeah.
Tell him to bring it to him.
Yeah,
well, now,
nice.
If he sells enough of them, they can afford to take care of him stuff. See?
But now, that's a little distance over there. And, let me see, there's, I don't know what they charge. Say, $5 filter, he'd pay $3 for it, or whatever it is. Well, couldn't be too much margin.
They ain't much margin. No, a filter cost you $4, and it'll cost him three,
yeah.
$2.95.
Yeah.
He ain't making it with a dollar and a nickel.
And the filter, it must cost them something.
Oh, yeah. And they probably make 75 cents or a dollar
yeah.
on it.
Well, now, they pick it up. You know what they got to do? Every time they...
Now, I'm talking about a big filter. I ain't talking about them little ones. Them little ones, they don't make that much on them. Some of the little fillers, they probably make about 60 cents or 75 cents on it.
Yeah. But see, everything they sell, they've got to write it down and make a receipt for it and take it over and leave that. There's so much paperwork.
I know it.
Now, you don't have quite as much paperwork as they do.
Hmm.
But you still have right smart.
Right smart, though.
Well, I bet you do, Buster.
It's a lot of
and
trouble.
Just plain
it's a lot of trouble.
Is a nuisance.
It is. It is.
Now do you keep in mind what people owe you, or you keep it all on a piece of paper?
I put it on paper. You can't keep it in your mind. Cause you'll sure forget it.
Well,
but I remember. I can remember.
Every time I ever asked you, you seem to remember.
I remember.
Well,
I know what everybody's been knowing me for a long time ago.
Yeah.
I remember.
Even
when I hadn't paid a long time ago.
Of course, when you tell me, I'm not sure that that's what's on the book, you see. You can just make it up.
Well, no, people don't want to make it up because you couldn't afford to. You could lose money. You could lose money just hauling off and giving a figure. Because you got to know what you put in there. And they don't give that stuff to you, you know, up at that parts place.
No,
so
yeah.
You've got to know about what it is.
People talk about buying it at cost and wholesale and all like that. It's still a lot of money.
Well, I put a water pump on for old Joe Thomas up there, the same guy that told me he lost $17.
Yeah.
And I didn't charge him at $7 to put that pump on there. Because he bellyached so much about that old starter, you know, I figured, well, that'll kind of precipitate for it a little bit, you know. And I asked old Charles Birch yesterday, I said, how much y'all charge putting on a water pump? He said, $14. Which is about right. Because
uh-huh.
There ain't no easy job putting a water pump on. Not on that car, it isn't. So they charge $14 just to put a pump on.
Just to install it?
Mm-hmm. But the main thing is you got to know what you're doing. That helps in anything you do, is knowing what you're doing. Now, I sold a water pump to a guy last week. Same guy worked on them tires. And this old boy that comes to visit him, he said, oh, so I'll put that on there for you. And so you can save $5. Old Buster charge you $5 put it on there, I know. Or maybe six or seven.
Yeah.
He didn't even clean that gasket off of the, you know, the motor there. Old. And you got to have that thing extra clean. And then he come back up and he said, you know, I like to burnt that truck up. That water pump wasn't no good. It says leaking. I said, man, that water pump can't be leaking. I said, I just took that motor out of there months ago. Rod is knocking, you know. And I said, no, man. He said, that thing got so hot I had to pull it all the way from Archer back to Micanopy. Said, just burning up. I said, well, good night for doing that. I said, I'll pull it off and put you another one on it. I put some water in that thing just to check it, you know. And by George, it's coming out behind the block, behind the pump itself under there. So that kind of got me hot in the collar, you know, him accusing me of selling water pump water. Because I went down there and told him, I said, anything wrong with that water pump? He said, there's water coming out behind it. I said, it's supposed to, and you've got a bad gasket on it. I said, I bet you didn't even clean that gasket off of that, did he? He said, nah, I don't know where he did or not. So I just took the thing off and went to the game. I had to go to the game anyway. Got me a brand new gasket and cleaned that thing off good. And I said, it looks like you used Permatex. He said, we did. I said, you can't put Permatex on that gasket. You can't, because you can't get it even, see? It's got to be uniform all the way across. If you put shellac on it, it'll smear and it'll flatten out. Permatex won't, because if you put something too thick. I used the same pump. He ain't had a bit of trouble since. And after he saw it, he said, yeah, that's the same pump, all right. He said, well, what'd he do wrong? I said, well, he just didn't clean the motor off. I said, you've got to have things clean. Just like that old cylinder. I took that thing off there, and I washed that thing in gas good, and then took it out there to that water hose and put the pressure to it. You can't go putting up that stuff dirty. Well, you wouldn't have a bit of brakes on that car. And all those things in that wheel. I'd take me a good clean rag. I don't mean a dirty rag. I'm talking about a clean one.
Uh-huh.
Clean them things out good, because you can't even have one grain of sand on those washers.
Is that right?
It'll leak. Man, dude, them brakes is something.
You've
got to really be clean. And you got to have your hands clean. I mean, wash them. When you put fluid on those little rubbers, they can't be, like I say, one grain of sand will cut that washer and make it leak. One grain. I've seen it do it. So, I'd rather spend a little time, be clean when I work. Because if you don't, you have to go back over it.
That's right. Well, you got our bill?
$30.
Sure.
Rework the cylinders. And rework your master booster.
All
at one time.
Let me tell you about something. I think I have been trying to get you and maybe two or three other fellas to fix my brakes.
On that car?
Yes.
No, I've never heard you say anything about it. Thank you, man.
You said 30.
Yes. You've never said anything about it, but I know of.
It never had worked. You know, from the very first, you know, I would put the brakes on of a morning and they'd lock. And I'd have to back up to unlock them.
On the front?
Yes. I'd take them up ahead of you, and you drive around the block.
Well, that'd be all right then, you know.
Right.
Huh. Well, that's possible, you know. Things like to happen.
I'll tell you, on the highway, I have had, ever since I've had that car, I have had to be particular about the way I put my foot on the brakes. If they won't lock if you just barely catch them.
But I took it.
Yes.
Yeah, excuse me.
But if you mash the pedal, you watch out. Now, Faye's car, those brakes are all right.
I took it. Guy had was tied up in a class or something, or in something he's doing. So one of the times we took that thing through inspection, I took it through. And guy gave me lessons on how to do the brakes. See, he then turn it down. He did. Not on the brakes, on something else.
Yeah. All those brakes needed. They needed.
Oh, I'm so glad they're there.
Yeah.
I wish you could just, when you got a little time sometime, just listen.
Faye, let him take it home with him tonight.
Well, you're going to be real busy tomorrow.
Well, he has to drive around the block every now and then.
I can run him back out. He won't take a few minutes. You want to bring it back in the morning?
No.
Well, have you got time to just look, sort of see what you think's wrong making that noise?
On yours?
Yeah.
Yeah.
In my.
I'll take care of it tomorrow. Yeah, there's something there.
If it's a
bearing. I used to have a wagon, and every now and then, that in the back, you know how the back end of a wagon will pick up a roar, and you let them break back. Bearings get rough like that. You hear from it.
Hmm.
But now this little bit, it's been going on for months.
It could be a universal joint.
Well,
or it could be
wheel.
It sounds like bearings to me. A bearing somewhere.
That'd be the simplest.
Yeah, I hope it is. I just let one of the mechanics listen to it and drive it around, and I thought something terrible was happening. He said, "You don't need to worry." I said, "It's the tires."
I don't know all those big charges, but up there at Brazington, I've been going up there with Faye since she bought that old up there. And, you know, they got all those high-powered mechanics in there. They're all busy all the time on those high-priced cars. And, you know, you have to have an appointment to get in there like you do to the beauty shop.
It's the doctor.
Yeah, I know.
There's just one that I trust up there.
And you can't find out anything. What you gonna do? Make an appointment for them to see, listen to this thing? Well, I guess you could.
And
yeah.
Say now, next Friday at 8:00 in the morning, I'll listen to it. Friday week or something like that.
Yeah.
Well, you know how it is.
Well, you'd be down broke down for then.
Would you? Well, we've got
some pretty nice solids up there. If you're in an emergency, you know, they'll only listen to it. So.
Now, that's the way all them big garages work, isn't it? And a lot of the fellas there, they keep their own backlog of people that they work for.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, that darn my gas has been leaking ever since I got it, and they fix it every time I go, and it still leaks.
Where's it leaking?
I don't know.
Right at the recuperator.
And I know my.
Well, you know how to fix that? The simplest way to fix it?
Huh?
Fix it like they used to a long time ago. A piece of string. They probably just keep tightening it.
Mm-hmm.
But that ain't no good. You know, a long time ago when they had old Model A's, they'd back that nut off and take a little piece of cord string and wrap it around it,
and
it'd stop it.
That's right.
Because it would be like a packing, you know.
Yeah.
That's the best way to stop it. I'll look at it.
The gas gauge, guy said it the other day that it looked like it went away so fast. But it'll stay up full about 2 trips in town. It won't move a bit. Then it'll suddenly drop down.
Well, that Plymouth House does the same thing.
Yeah.
All them Chrysler products are that way.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Oh, you think, golly, I got a tank full of gas, and then you take another trip to town.
And you
got
half a
tank. That's right.
That's what alcohol is. They're the same thing.
Yeah.
But you never call. I didn't give a minute trouble. We went up to Chattanooga, went on over towards all those mountains through in there, you know, and that old car never missed a lick. That's the third long trip that thing took. And that car got a lot of miles on it. It's traded off for a long. Because that thing's got too many miles on it.
Now, your 1950 cars wouldn't take that much mileage.
Yeah, it would. Man, that old truck I got, I bet you that thing's got 200,000 miles on it. I bet it has.
It won't take the speed.
No, I don't drive it over 45. That's whenever you're going 45 miles an hour, that's a cruising speed for that truck.
Yeah, for your truck.
Now, in 57 miles, you can make 60. They got them now where you can make 80.
Yeah.
And think nothing about it.
Yeah.
Oh, it's the model.
Yeah.
And
you take these little big semis. Now, boy, you can't stay up with them things. They just leave you.
Going up a hill.
Yeah. There's four of those things racing coming out of Atlanta when we come back from, well, we went up from Tennessee and then all over to North Carolina, South Carolina, and come back into Atlanta. And there's four of those things racing. Side by side, you know. Playing up and down the road. When I come on down to Macon, there's two of them laid on the side of the road. Two of those same trucks. They must have. One of them laying on one side of the road and one of them laying on the other side of the road. I started stopping down and tell that old road patrolman. I said, well, I expected that to happen, but I said, no, I'll keep my nose out of it. But somebody ought to tell them. Them old big semis, they're dangerous going up and down that road.
And
side by side, you can't even get around them. And if they're behind you, they'll almost run over you.
Yeah.
Sure will.
Takes
you got to outrun them, get out of the way of them.
Yeah. I slow down to get.
So they're going around you.
Going around.
Sure.
One of my big Sears semis passed me going that hill, going up there, you know, past, you know, the long hill coming out this way, 1441. I go in 50, and he just sailed on by me, up the hill.
Yeah, I noticed that. And that hadn't been always true.
These semis they got now, they'll go.
Yeah.
No doubt about it, they'll go. You can be doing 70 out there, they'll go around you.
Yeah.
They'll say run 75, 80 miles an hour.
Yeah.
Them old big ones, they'll move.
Yeah.
Especially out on that 75.
Yeah.
There was 10 of those things more, one right behind the other. Semi. It's surprising how many of those things are on that 75. See, a lot of them come from up the country, you know, and they're going to Miami, you know, with a load of stuff, you know, and they pick up a load of fruit down there probably and carry it back. And they used to be on 441 here, but now they're on 75.
You know, there's more and more on 441 again. You know that for a while there wasn't hardly any.
Yeah, I know, but now they're coming back over to 441 now.
What are they doing that for?
They know it's dangerous to be on 75.
Yeah.
Oh.
That 75 is a dangerous road. Well, I mean, people just, they take too many chances and drive too fast out there.
Yeah.
They take all kind of chances out there. I don't like it. There's no enjoyment riding unless you just got a designated place to go to, you know. If say you're going to Chattanooga, Tennessee on a vacation to Lookout Mountain, it's easy to get on 75 and just go right straight ahead, because then you don't have to worry about these little small towns stopping at all them street lights. But at least you see something. But on 75, you don't see nothing. You got your eyes glued to that road and that thing just hypnotizes you. Riding along there.
Yeah.
You ride for miles and don't even know you're riding. You know what I mean? You're just hypnotized. Because you're seeing that full lane, you're seeing cars going and coming. And usually, you don't go around anybody anyway, because everybody's traveling faster than I am, so they're all going around me. And you're just sitting there riding along half asleep when somebody's talking to you.
And that's when the danger is.
Yeah.
You didn't used to let people pass you.
Me? Oh, yeah. I've always done that.
That's just reasons where you let people pass.
I've never been what you call a fast driver.
Never was.
Never was.
Well, now, you know back in the old days.
I don't care about fast driving. You know, not a kid, you mean?
Yeah.
No, I never did drive real fast.
Yes, sir. I remember many times driving along with somebody, and here come a car going past him, and they up. They wasn't
going to
let anybody pass them. It's just something about letting the car pass you.
When you're young. Yeah, I can remember that.
Well, young, I never did care too much about that, because the old man always kept a new car. And he used to tell me, he said, if you want to drive my automobile, he said, you're going to take care of it. And I did, too.
Yeah.
And I can get any time I wanted to.
Yeah.
Sure could. He's always a careful driver. Oh, there's been times, a few times that I'd get out there and speed a little. But it wasn't everyday occurrence. The days wasn't numerous, you know.
You know the way they used to try a car out, he wasn't any good, and I'd see how fast he'd go.
No, I never was that kind of a fella at all.
Yeah.
I never did care about the speed of an automobile.
Mm-hmm.
I never did thrill me to get out there and run one wide open. Mm-mm. Because I knew that thing could fly all to pieces, or tap the motor, or maybe a tire blow out and kill you.
Yeah.
I always thought about those things myself.
Yeah.
I don't believe I've ever opened up over two or three cars in my life, my whole life.
Yeah.
You see how fast they run. Because I just didn't care. I don't care about that.
No, I don't care. It's got up there 110 on the speedometer or something like that, you know. That don't bother me in the slightest.
And me either.
It don't exercise my curiosity at all.
Me neither.
Just as long as it'll go around 45.
That's fast. I'll be that speed out on that Chrysler slow.
Yeah.
Oh, it is.
Yeah.
Cause you can be going 45 miles an hour, and that thing's going faster than 45 miles an hour, isn't it?
It sure is.
You can tell that.
Oh, yeah.
That thing's making at least almost 60, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. I think
that speedometer must be slow.
It's way on it slow.
Because I know I had done 45, and I said, man, I'm going faster than 45 miles an hour.
My mother, who thinks that Guy Wright drives very slowly, because she's used to people, if it's 70, making if 70 is the speed limit, that's what most people that she rides with makes. They think they have to make the speed limit. And she always thinks Guy drives slowly. And the first time she rode in that Chrysler, she said, well, he's certainly driving a lot faster than he used to. The guy thought he was driving 40 miles an hour.
It's like I heard an old hoot owl out there.
Yes.
They fly up here once in a while, don't they?
Yes, we've got several that, but they're not here every night. And now, a lot, sometimes in the year, they'll come out around 4 o'clock.
They will.
Yeah. And I'll hear them over there on that, what I call the West Ham, like that, bunch of clump of trees over down there. Around 4 o'clock, they'll come out and start
hollering, eh?
Hollering. And then sometimes you can hear them off, and sometimes they get right in the house and start talking to you.
Yeah. Sometimes they get up in those trees, I imagine, right close to the house every morning.
Yeah.
And they fuss at each other and talk?
Oh,
yeah.
They do fuss. I don't know what they're doing.
I used to mock them old owls, you know, and call them up there to the house, you know.
Yeah.
When I was little. Well, not too long ago I used to do it.
I would love to see them. I don't know. I've seen them in the distance, but I don't know what they are. I guess they're hoot owls.
Regular old big hoot owls, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we got one that comes in and make it up there all the time. Lights on those poles around there, and he'll let out a scream, you know, and he'll hoot.
Thank you.
I like to hear that myself.
I do too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I guess I better run.
I knew a fella one time, this is up the country, and he had a tape recorder, and he had a megaphone on it, where he was spotted. And he could record a bird song way over there, 200 or 300 yards, and make it sound like it's right at you. I'd love to have some of them old owls, you know, get out there when they're screaming and hollering something. I'd love to have that. Every now and then I'd play it, like your horn on your thing. You gonna let them take your old?
Yeah.
Oh, I can't back and check it out tomorrow.
If you don't have to.
I want him back,
Buster.
Okay, tomorrow.
I mean, you know.
Tomorrow afternoon.
If you could just find out even what it was. I'm just afraid it's, afraid I'm driving it.
There's a Channel 2 right around 5:40. Channel 2 right around 5:40, and this is the end of this fine, long, leisurely visit with Buster. It finally came off. He came over here right at the beginning of the evening news at 6:30, and he left at 8:15. And we sat there and talked in the most leisurely fashion all the time. I let the news go, and Faye made no effort to cook supper. She figured he'd had supper. I figured if I brought it up, that would run him off, alarm him, until 8:15. This October, Friday, October the 2nd, 1970. Friday, the 2nd of October, 1970. Friday, the 2nd of October, 1970. Channel 2 right, around 5:50. The end of this marvelous, long, leisurely visit with Buster. This Friday, the 2nd of October, 1970, Channel 2 right, around 5:50.